Chris Peters from DailyFaceoff.com joins us. We're talking about the NHL entry draft. Chris, have you ever done any CFL drafting work?
I can't say that I have, but I just pick guys from Iowa State. That's where I went to school, so get some Iowa State guys.
Okay, I like it. Perfect timing to have you on because we got another trade involving a first-round pick as Minnesota acquires the 19th selection and Brock Faber in exchange. Kevin Fiala goes to L.A. So tell us about Brock Faber. I know he's a local guy. He's playing at University of Minnesota. He's a second-round pick in 2020. How's he developing? How do you like this pick when you consider the depth of this year's draft and Faber for Fiala?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, obviously the context of the trade is so important, knowing what Minnesota's cap situation was and that they probably weren't going to be able to afford Fiala in a long-term situation. They've got all that dead cap space that they're dealing with from the buyouts of Suter and Parisi. And so, you know, basically they weren't necessarily dealing from a position of strength, but they had a great player in Kevin Fiala and obviously a lot of interest around him. So I think it's a good trade for the Wild, given what they're getting. I think Brock Faber is an A prospect. He was a second-round draft pick, but I think he's going to be a long-term NHL player. I think top four, no question. His development has really gone significantly upwards. He's more of a defender. You know, he's not going to give you a ton of offensive upside, but he is an elite defender at the college level. He's a great skater. Played for Team USA at the Olympics and was on the gold medal team 2 years ago at the World Juniors and really played his way into a top four role for that team. He really worked his way into a higher lineup spot and was going to be a key player before everything got canceled with this year's World Juniors. So, you know, he goes and he ends up being the number one defenseman for Team USA at the Olympics instead and had a great season with Minnesota. So I really think that Faber is the important piece of this trade more than the first round draft pick, because I do believe he's a long-term NHL player. And the added bonus is he's a local kid. He plays for the University of Minnesota. He's actually just named today as one of the three captains for the University of Minnesota for next season. So he's a key player there. But that 19th overall pick, I mean, still very good value on the board there. There's a lot of different options in the Wild. Have built a pretty decent prospect system. Obviously, they have Marco Rossi and Matt Boldy elevated his game and was on the NHL roster. So, you know, it's not the best draft pick that you can get. I mean, I think that the things really start to thin out kind of in that 19 range, and you're just kind of hoping that somebody is available there that you like. But I would think that the Wild made that trade largely because they do believe that there's value at 19th overall and that they can find a good player there. So, plenty of good options for him. But overall, I mean, yeah, you lose Kevin Fiala, you're worse today, but maybe better tomorrow, you know, or at least in a better position financially without that large cap hit on your books. So something for Billy Guerin to work on over these next couple of years.
Chris, you know, take a look at the top end of that draft. Shane Wright, you know, it seemed like since he was five, he's been the consensus number one pick. And now, you know, there's many people, including yourself, who don't have him in that top spot. What has he not done, or what have other players done to have him kind of shift down from one to wherever he is still, two or three?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's important to note that, you know, Shane Wright not being the number one pick doesn't necessarily mean that he's a bad player or a bad prospect. In fact, I mean, you know, relative to this class, he's still one of the very best there is. And so I had him number two on my board. Obviously, we just saw, you know, Bob McKenzie's list come out where he's number two on that list as well. You know, some other people had kind of been there. But the reason that I think that Shane Wright has been knocked off of the consensus number one designation is largely because of, you know, some factors that are beyond his control and some that are. And the factor that's beyond his control is last year he didn't play anywhere. He missed an entire year of a development. And you go back 2 years to his rookie season when he was 15 in the OHL, and he actually outpaced Connor McDavid on a per-game basis. And so maybe that set an unfair bar for him to reach because he didn't progress in a way that was consistent with what he showed at younger ages. So we didn't necessarily see him outright dominate the OHL this year. He wasn't even the leading scorer on his own team. Good points per game average, you know, best among draft eligible players in terms of his production in the OHL. But relative to number one picks in the OHL over the years, this is going to be the lowest points per game rate for a considered number one pick since Rick Nash. And so, you know, there you look at the guys that have come since then, and he just doesn't stack up with the Patrick Kanes and the Steven Stamkoses and those types of players. that have come, at least in terms of production. Now, the other thing, too, that Chainwright has going against him is he was always kind of big for his age, and he stopped growing. That's something that doesn't get brought up a ton, but it is a factor in his overall ceiling projection, because he basically came into the NHL at 6 foot, 100, I think he was listed at 6'1", 185 pounds, and now he's 6'1", 195 pounds. You know, so he's gotten stronger, he's gotten thicker and all those other things, but we just haven't, you know, I think that he has a very high floor, but I don't think that his ceiling is as high as we once thought it was, and that's a big reason why he's fallen down, you know, some boards, and why there is at least concern about his being the best player in this draft.
Chris Peters joins us from dailyfaceoff.com, talking about the 2022 draft. Your Ace Slavkovsky is a very intriguing prospect. I know you have Logan Cooley number one on your list, and you know, Bob had Slavkovsky number one on his, and you guys swapped, and then both had Wright in the middle. So, you know, I don't know, like, between Cooley and Slavkovsky, who do you think has the higher ceiling?
Well, I think that for me, Cooley is the more dynamic, faster player, and I think that you know, I also think he has a higher end hockey sense than Slavkovsky. So to me, it's Cooley. Now, he's not as big as Juraj Slavkovsky. He's not going to have the physical imposing presence that Slavkovsky does. I would say Slavkovsky is a better goal scorer and has a better shot. You know, he's got that power game that Cooley just doesn't have the size to play. But I also think that there's more value on the center position. I don't think Slavkovsky, you know, there have been some people that said maybe he could play center. I don't think he's going to play center. I don't think he really even wants to play center. He's a goal scorer. He should probably be on the wing. It'll maximize his potential. You know, so to me, I'll always lean center when it's close. And I do think it is close. I think actually all three players at the top, at least of my board, those are the top three guys. And you could flip a coin. And no matter if Montreal picks any one of those three players, I won't criticize them, because I think it is that tough of a decision. So, you know, it doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean they're right. We just don't know yet. So, but I would say of those two players, Cooley to me, and that's why I had him number one, is I think that he plays the game faster. He plays the game as competitively as anybody, decent enough defensive value. And then, you know, he doesn't have the size, but he's got that dynamic element that I think is where the NHL is heading. And that's the reason why I had him ahead of Shane Wright and ahead of Juraj Slavkovsky. But certainly the physical package that Slavkovsky has is super attractive. He's NHL ready. I think he could jump into a lineup and produce pretty quickly. I think he's the kind of guy where he's going to excel playing around more elite players. He didn't have great production in Liga this year. Was on a much more defensive-minded team. And so that definitely impacted his numbers, but still, they aren't the kind of numbers that you would expect from a player that's going number one. But he was the MVP of the Olympics and then also had a great world championship where he was playing against NHL players, the world championship, and with NHL players. And he really thrived in that environment. I think he could similarly thrive in the NHL.
Chris, when you look at the overall, the first 30, 40 players, is the depth of defensemen that are available and interest you higher or lower than in past years?
You know, I think that's one area where this draft is, I like it quite a bit. I would say it's at least at worst average, but I think it could be slightly above. Basically, what you're looking at is, you know, you look at the defensive group, and we've got two guys, two really good right shot defensemen that are kind of the consensus top two, and Simon Nemec and David Juracek. And so those two guys are kind of at the top. But then you look at the further tiers down. And even going into the second round, there's a lot of value there. There's a lot of defensemen that I like that, you know, maybe they're a project or they need more development, or they, you know, played in prep school and they need to play against higher competition. You know, all those different things that kind of factor in. But, you know, I think this could be a year where you see a run on defensemen. There's a lot of good players with a lot of different skill sets. You've got those big bruisers like Leon Bichel, who plays, he's a Swiss player who played in Sweden this year, 6'5", athletic, physical, has a bit of a nastiness to him. You got Owen Pickering from the Swift Current Broncos, who is just on the tip, really on the tip of his kind of development here. I think he's really going to take off in these next couple of years, but he's a big guy with athleticism, physicality, good offensive skill that, you know, he's not as offensively gifted as some of the other offensive defensemen, but, you know, if you're looking for mobility, it's all throughout this draft. And obviously, if you're looking at modern day defensemen, mobility and puck movement and making plays and decisively are so important, and we have a lot of guys like that. You got Ryan Chesley and Lane Hudson from the National Team Development Program that you know, have both are great skaters. They're not as big as some of the other guys, but, you know, Chesley's a really – I think he's probably the best pure two-way defenseman in this draft. And then you've got Hudson, who I think could be the most dynamic defenseman in this draft. There are guys like Denton Matejchuk, Pavel Mentukov, Kevin Korchinski, who are further up the first round, guys that have big-time offensive potential. So there's a lot there, and that's just the first-round guys. I think there's a lot, you know, as we get further down in the first round and into the second round, there's still quite a bit of value there, and I really like this class of defense.
One last one for you, Chris. You talk about defense when you mentioned Owen Pickering, because you had him at 28, which comes right around where Edmonton is picking. And so there's a few other players you have, a few, you know, defensemen in there. Jimmy Snuggerud, we've talked about on the show. But there's one D-man out of Sweden, Leon Bischel, I'm not sure the proper way to say it. He's 6 foot five and a half, 225 pounds, and he can skate. Now, I'm not sure how much offense he has, but man, when a guy's that mobile and that big, like what's the upside of him? And would this be one of those picks that you just kind of wait, and he might be a really good late round first or late first round value pick?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is with that size profile and his mobility, I just wonder, you know, I could be a little bit lower on him because I don't think he has much offensive upside.
Okay.
You know, or as much as some of those other players. But I'll tell you what, he is a very popular guy right now. I think a lot, you know, I hear a lot about him. I think he's probably going to go a little bit higher than I have him. But if he doesn't, I think he's the fun kind of project to have because he's got so much raw athleticism and ability. And, you know, he just needs refinement. And he played big minutes in the pros this year. He handled himself well. He got a concussion towards the end of the season, which really knocked him. You know, he wasn't able to play in the World Under 18s. He wasn't able to play in other events. And so you didn't get to see him at the end of the season and give him that great last impression playing in his own age group. So that definitely, I think, kind of, you know, pushed him back to the back of our minds a little bit. But he's the guy that, you know, as we get further on in this process, I think NHL teams have circled as, you know, a potential real boom player with a high ceiling and a guy that they're going to like a lot. So he absolutely could be there. I think the back half of the second round is really unpredictable, but that's the guy that I think NHL teams are just trying to figure out exactly how high he's going to go, because he is a very intriguing player with a good package of skills.
Chris, always good to catch up with you, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for this. We'll see you in Montreal next week.
All right. Thanks, boys.
That's Chris Peters from DailyFaceoff.com.